Welcome back. Episode 26, Count Vegas Podcast. Finally wrapping up section 3 of my trip report from March. Digging into the gambling side of the trip, which, let's be honest, that's the whole reason we go out there. And we had a good time this last one. So, cut to the chase. Wife didn't do very well, but I actually ended up a little bit ahead on my trip. But it was definitely a different kind of roller coaster this time than it has been in the past, and in a good way. Started out first day up, down, and then kind of hung out up for the final couple days. If I had to pick, that's probably a good way to go. Nothing worse than being down 3-4 days in a row when you're chasing your losses on your last day. That certainly happened to me in the past, but it was nice having a little bit of a cushion for the majority of my trip. This trip was probably the first time that a different game actually took up more of my time than video poker. And that's craps. The past two trips, my October and December trip, I've slowly been ramping up my craps play. And honestly, this one is probably, if not 50-50, then slightly in favor of craps. So it's a game I've truly grown to appreciate. And if you're looking for more advice on craps, and really probably what's got me most excited about it and interested in it recently is the You Can Bet on That podcast. Those guys are a great chemistry between the two. I mean, the reason a good podcast exists is when you have a good chemistry between two people. You know, one person rambling on about their past trip reports is okay for a small amount of time, but just listening to their stories and their experiences, and they got a good following already. Lots of fellow craps players out there calling into their podcast. It's something that keeps you going in between Vegas trips. It's definitely fun, and it certainly got me more excited about the game and interested in playing it. But before I go too much more into craps, I'll go with my wheelhouse, which is video poker. And it's kind of interesting because I really, starting with Vegas, it was blackjack back in 07 when I first started coming here. You know, I studied up on it. I bought books, learned how to count cards, or at least thought I kind of had a good understanding of it. You know, you really need a good bankroll to make any money card counting. But whatever it was, that was, you know, I understood what the house edge was, what the good rules were. And that was really what I focused on. I said, well, this is going to be my best bang for my buck. I can make the most in the casinos doing this. But the biggest downside I seen to that was what comps I was being awarded was. And realizing that the comps in low-level video poker is much higher than what you get playing blackjack. So that was kind of my transition, probably a year or two into it. And plus, teaching my wife how to play video poker gave us something to do in Vegas together. And it still is going to be, you know, it'll remain a good chunk of my time in Vegas just because being able to play side by side is a good time. You know, still trying, still really wanting to get her out on the tables and play a little bit with me out there, but it's going to take some work to get her to feel comfortable on the tables. But either way, starting to play video poker, I was all about, you know, lasting as long as I can for my gambling dollar, looking for low variance games, getting the most out of my play and the highest return. So 9-6 jacks or better was high on my radar. Obviously, that's usually the first one everyone learns how to play. And going from that, Deuces Wild is also a decent game. It has more variance, but it's not crazy like the double-double bonus games out there. So I learned to play that. And Not-So-Ugly Deuces pays back 99.73%. So I started to play quite a bit of those games. And that took up a majority of my time, but like anything, you know, the places you go in Vegas change over time. The games you play in Vegas change over time. So those games start to wear on you a little bit, and I start digging into the bonus games. And it's interesting because the only place I played just a standard video poker game without any bonuses or bells and whistles was on a real shitty pay schedule at the airport, which I'm embarrassed to say, but hey, when you got, you know, 20 minutes before your flight goes, what else are you going to do? You got to eat your BK for sandwich somewhere. And I used to kind of think to myself when I listened to, obviously, the 500 by Midnight podcast is what all Vegas aficionados start with. That's their first taste in Vegas podcasting. They're the originals, as they pronounce. It's something I look forward to every week. But if you've listened to their podcast in the past, you certainly understand their stance on locals joints in Vegas. They're there for a good time. They're not seeking out the very best video poker schedule. And for the longest time, I didn't quite understand them. Well, you're gambling anyway. What's another 20 minutes out of the way to get to a casino that's going to give you a much better payback? And over time, I'm starting to slowly break down and realize it really is more about the experience. Don't get me wrong, I still have my my favorites. I mean, I started out playing, you know, at the Gold Coast. My first stay with my wife in Vegas in 07 was at the Rio, an off-strip property. So I'm always going to have those little local tendencies in my heart. But it's not always about the very best pay schedule anymore to me. It really is about the experience. And more importantly, are you having fun playing that game? And that's kind of where Super Times Pay comes into play. That's where Quick Quads comes into play. And going to the M Resort, yes, the best pay schedule is bonus poker there. So just the straight game, 8-5 bonus poker, that's what's going to give you the best payback. Well, they also have 7-5 bonus poker, which only pays back 98%. But when you play Super Times Pay, it adds a quarter of a percent. You play double Super Times Pay, it adds a half a percent. You play Quick Quads, it adds a quarter of a percent. So those are the ways I kind of justify it. But more importantly, yes, it adds a little bit to the payback, but more fun is really where it's at. If you can enjoy yourself while you're staying there and the thrill of being able to be dealt a four of a kind when you have a 10 times pay hand up there, hasn't happened to me yet, but giving back a little EV to really have that chance of hitting those bigger jackpots is something I've found that's a little more worth it to me over the years. Quick Quads especially, that's something, it's as little as a little voice that yells out Quick Quads to you while you're playing. I mean, that's something you look forward to. It gives you a little tingle in your pit of your stomach when you hit it. It's something fun, and it's amazing that looking back on my trip this past March here, every single video poker session, like I said, with the exception of the airport, was on some type of Super Times Pay or Quick Quads game. I kept it very different from past trips. So if you're like me and when you're starting out, you never mess with those bonus games because you're still kind of getting used to it. You don't want to mess anything up. I want to give some words of wisdom. And Super Times Pay is a bonus game that you can actually play without any change to the strategy. So if you know how to play Jacks or Better, you know how to play bonus poker. If there's a Super Times Pay game that has that program in it, then you know how to play that game. And that's important to know because when you have to change your strategy, like even Multi-Strike was a game that I played this trip at the Gold Coast. Didn't do real well with it, but Multi-Strike plays 20 credits per hand, and you get dealt your first hand, you play it, you need to win something on that hand before it advances to the next level. The next level is 2 times, then it goes to 4 times, then it goes to 8 times, but you need to win hands consecutively in a row. And because you have to win a consecutive hand to get to the next level, your strategy changes, where you might be a little more aggressive on normal video poker to hold for a higher paying hand. You're going to be a little less aggressive in this because you're gonna choose the holding pattern that brings you up to the next level the easiest. And I still don't quite understand that game, but again, Wizard of Oz is a great resource to go to for some of those weird bonus games. And he's figured out strategies for most of those to give you at least a rule of thumb to look at when you're playing those games. Does anyone else take pictures of high-paying video poker hands when you win them? It's kind of funny because when I go through my calendar here on my phone, and a lot of it is Valley of Fire, there's a good chunk of pictures I took there, but the majority of all the other ones are winning video poker hands. It's just kind of funny because I don't know what the hell I'm ever going to do with those pictures. I might post one or two on Twitter here and there, throw something on my website. But does anyone ever really do anything with those pictures? Would it mean anything if I blew them up and framed them and put them in my computer room to have a whole wall of video poker hands paying out some crazy bonus schedule? I would probably look kind of strange. But I digress. Some of the big winning hands, I didn't have any royal flushes this time. Wife had a few good ones. Probably the best one I had was a playing Bonus Poker Deluxe at the Aria. That's my favorite game to play on Super Times Pay because it pays back about 98.5%. You can play the Super Times Pay version, and I ended up hitting a four of a kind, playing triple play on 5 times. So the four of a kind paid $2,000, hit a full house on the same one for $200, and a three of a kind for $75. So, you know, a little over 2,200 coins was my biggest win. So that's half of a royal flush. That's not too bad. I was happy with that. Ended up with a pretty nice profit there. But for a nice change, my biggest win actually came from a table game this trip, and it was playing craps. Craps at the Aria. Whole time I was there, I was able to get a $10 table. I remember my last trip in December, we were at the Cosmopolitan, and I think I only showed up at the Aria a couple times. They might even have been weekend nights. It seemed like $15 was the minimum. That was definitely the minimum at the Cosmo. But it was nice because I was able to get on a $10 table. They have a ton of craps tables at the Aria. I think there's 8 or 10 craps tables. Pretty much always open. And it was, like I said, through the week I stayed there, but it was busy in the casino, and those craps tables all were busy and steady the entire time. You know, there'd be a time I'd buy in, I'd be playing at a $10 table, and they would change the minimum up to $25. And it's interesting because you don't usually see this at the other table games like blackjack, but they'd raise that table minimum to $25, and you'd start to see players slowly, you know, the hot roll wears off. Some people go back, they buy out, they cash in their chips, and the table gets a little quieter, and then all of a sudden that table minimum drops back down to $10. So it's kind of interesting to see the fluctuations they have in the way the table minimums work on a craps table. So I'm a pretty conservative craps table player. What I was doing on this last trip, I definitely play the pass line, and depending on where I'm at with my buy-in, if I'm down quite a bit, I will only do double odds for the most part. But when I'm up, I'll definitely put the full odds out there. So $10 pass line bet with full odds, and then I'll try to work, you know, one or two come bets along with that. I'd occasionally place the 6 and 8, but that was usually the extent of what I was gambling out there. And there was probably two rollers ahead of me on this one session I was at the Aria, which they're just hitting number after number, point after point. And even my roll, which I finished up with before I cashed in, I hit probably 4 points and quite a few of my combat numbers. And I bought in for $400 that time, cashed out for $1,400. That was definitely the biggest table game win I've ever left with. And I was able to walk away on my trip in Vegas, you know, a few hundred ahead. So certainly gave quite a bit back. I don't think I had a winning crap session after that one. But it was interesting how often I would break even or come real close within 100 or two with my buy-ins on craps. It seems like it's a slower paced game compared to blackjack. Sure, if you're betting, you know, 25, 50 bucks a hand in blackjack, it's all on the line, one shot, one hand, and it goes very quick. Where craps, in my opinion, I'm putting, you know, 10 bucks on the line, backing it up with odds. Then I'll throw a come bet out there. You're gradually adding to what money you're going to have out there at one time. And there's going to be that 7 that's rolled. It wipes the table clean. But for the most part, it feels like the variance is spread out a little bit more on a craps table. And I certainly haven't played enough to really get the whole vibe of it. Like I said, you can bet on that podcast. Those guys have many years and years of craps experience, and they can certainly attest to the swings that can come with that game. But I'm really liking the game. Played quite a bit at M Resort, probably played the most at Aria, and even Downtown Grand. And I'm kind of disappointed because they had the buy 4 and buy 10 promotion going on that I heard about on the You Can Bet on That podcast. But I listened to that podcast after I played there. And probably listening to it, I would have probably played that a little bit because I'm still kind of confused on some of the bets with craps. I know the basics, but I didn't really understand buy bets until listening to that podcast. And kind of kicking myself because it sounds like that promotion's over now at this point. But buying the 4 and 10 without having to pay any kind of commission on it would have been a nice bet there. They offer up to 10 times odds at the Downtown Grand, which was the best paying odds I played on the strip because I played at Aria and M Resort, and those all had the traditional 3 times, 4 times, and 5 times odds. When I was at the Downtown Grand, it's when we were eating at Pizza Rock down there, so we slid over afterwards. Played for a couple hours, $5 minimum table. Like I said, you can bet up to 10 times odds. Found myself actually gambling more money there than I did at the Aria just because it was 10 times odds. So got a little bit ahead and started backing up my bets 10 times odds. That gets expensive, even if it is a $5 table. But it's interesting how that change in rule really affects the way you gamble and the way you pay out there. curious how that's affected Wynn Resort since they changed the two times odds. On my December trip, it was the first time gambling at a craps table with my Apple Watch, and I actually got some grief at the little grief at the Aria and a lot of grief at the Cosmo. The Cosmo actually made me take off my watch when I was playing there. But this trip around, it was completely different at the Aria. The first two nights playing craps, they never mentioned a word. And even just kind of visually looking around the table, there's probably three or four Apple Watches on the wrists of the players there at that time. One night I did play, actually the night I won the most money, one of the craps dealers. It was the same craps dealer that mentioned my Apple Watch to me on the last trip there in December. And it was more just small talk, didn't mention a thing about it. Just, you got one of those computer watches, and he was talking about one of the pit bosses that have one and how he has to take it off before he can work on the casino floor, and which I don't really understand that, but whatever. You know, it was nice to see that they didn't make as much of a deal about it as they did in the past. Hopefully that's a trend that's going to continue, and like I said, I didn't play any Cosmo on this trip, so I'm not sure if they changed their stance there. Or, like I said, it could always just be a certain dealer's attitude towards it. So they don't have a fire bet at the Aria, but they do have the all tall, all small, and make them all bets. And I've never played any bonus bets at craps before. But, of course, it just so happens that on my trip here, I watched the make them all bet made twice in a row. And, well, of course, all it takes is seeing someone winning that bet to make you start betting it. And I started throwing dollars here and there at the bet. Every single time I put money on it, of course, I didn't make anything. None of my bets went anywhere. Even made it a couple times for the dealers. So I think I'm still going to hold true to not wasting my money on those bonus bets. But boy, does a table light up when they make that 176-1 payout on a make-em-all dollar and $5 bet. I think someone even had a $25 bet out there. So there's some happy people when they... when they hit that win. It was not me, though. The last thing I want to talk about in terms of gambling is at the end of your trip, and this is something I've never gambled enough to really think it's worthwhile, but with M Life, they always read online and message boards the talk of back-end comps. So back in, I think, January 1st, or it might even have been December or something, they started a new thing with M Life in Las Vegas where you do not earn express comps on table games any longer. Which, again, another negative in the M Life hat. Ironically, MGM Grand Detroit, you could still earn express comps on table games there. So maybe that'll make me play a little more in my own town here. But in Vegas, they did take that away. So I was all set up. I planned on playing my normal video poker, you know, getting my express comps that way. Then on my last night, stop into the M Life booth and see if they can review my table gameplay, see if there's anything they can do to remove anything off my hotel room bill. So did that. She started to bring up my account, got on the phone, and talking to someone on there, and quickly comes off the phone and says, "No, unfortunately, it looks like you've been overcomped in the past, so I don't think there's anything they can do for you." So that's kind of funny because this is the first time I've ever actually come up to see if there's anything that can be comped off my bill. I've never done that in the past. So, oh, hold on. You know, she's kind of new here. And she puts me, gets back on the phone and starts talking to the lady a little more. A few more minutes go by and she hangs up the phone and basically says, "Well, I'm not really supposed to tell you this, but the way it works with table game play, they actually look at what room comps you're given first, and you have to basically play that off before you get any additional comps. And with table game play, that doesn't take effect till that comp has been taken care of." And I'm thinking in the back of my head, I really only had the one comp night on this offer. It wasn't a very big one. But I know I'm not a super high-level player, but what's interesting is she actually quoted me what they had me for table game play. She said, "Well, we do have you for 9 hours at a $38 minimum." So that information was valuable enough. Knowing how I play, it was, like I said, generally $10 with full odds, pass line bet, and a couple come bets. So that tells me right there they do not take odds into consideration for the bet. How I got the extra $8, I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, a few of the times I was betting a dollar on the line with me for the dealers and did that a few times. And I have heard if you're generous with the dealers and your tips, they'll be a little more generous with your ratings. You know, so I got a kind of a random bonus $8 in my minimum there. And didn't realize I played that long. 9 hours is a decent amount of time, but spread over 4 days, I guess it's not an exuberant amount, and it certainly wasn't enough to get me anything off my bill. But what they were able to do at the booth there, they took, with video poker and slots, you earn express comps and you earn point play. They're able to combine the two together and cash both those out towards my hotel room bill. And I had some saved up for my last trip. I don't remember exactly how much, but I ended up putting another 90, 95 bucks off my hotel bill, which I was happy about. You know, it was fair enough. I've heard that before where certain comps, to try to get anything taken off, they always want you to earn whatever hotel comp you had first. And for me, anytime I'm being comped hotel room nights, it's usually not enough play for me to earn anything in addition to that. But that just helps me understand their program a little better. And like I said, it was kind of interesting to hear how they rated me. So they couldn't take extra money off my bill. But what was weird was at checkout the morning of, going through the TV, they all have that now where you can check out of your room, view your bill all on the TV there. I had my $100 resort credit, which that took care of all the food bills that I booked to the room. And I think they even took a few extra bucks towards it because I know I spent a little more than what I had. And then I also noticed I didn't see a single resort fee on the bill there. So I don't know if that was just a fluke that they took the resort fee off or they added that fee into what each hotel room night was. You know, my only downside to adding on the room and doing all this last minute is I didn't get a good idea of keeping track of what each room night was total. It was all kind of last minute. I kept, you know, I added the extra two nights on, the 50 bucks a night upgrade to the suite. So I wasn't doing a good job of keeping track of what the actual amount should have been. Doing the math in my head, it sounded like it was going to be pretty close to 800 bucks for the four nights. Ended up with a bill of 650 at the end of the trip, knowing that 90 of it was the express comps and point play. You know, it doesn't add up to enough to take off the resort fee for all four nights. So I don't, like I said, exactly know what it all worked out to, but, you know, I look at that 650, I take 100 off of the resort credit, that's 550. Dividing that for four nights, I'm like, okay, that's worthwhile. It was a corner suite room, spacious, nice. I got stuck on the third floor again, which kind of sucked, but it is an impressive room. Gives you the mini fridge in there to be able to store your drinks and stuff and keep things cold. Impressive bathroom. It's really cool the way they have the not iPads, but basically tablets in the bedroom and in the living room of the suites, where you can control the lights, you can control the temperature. The TV, all the components are all there on the touch screen. And on the morning of is actually when I finally noticed it. You can actually look at different newspaper articles and stuff all on the tablet. So they must have subscription programs with Wall Street Journal and that type of stuff built into it. And I don't know if that's exclusive to the suite or if all the Aria rooms are like that. But with that and the addition of a tower room suite that you have, you know, if you're staying in a corner suite, you get a little bit different of a logo on your room key card. And like I said, that key card gets you access into that suite. It was nice knowing that even though it was 3 days into my trip, I would have access to free Coke, Diet Coke, bottled water, espresso and espresso machine, coffee. Coffee was a little bitter, but not too bad. And then croissants and cookies and stuff. You know, probably could have abused that a little more than I did, but if you are upgrading to the suite, especially 50 bucks a night, make sure you're taking advantage of that little lounge they have there because you want to get as much bang for your buck on your trip. All right, I think the only thing I didn't talk about from my trip was my little side excursion to the Valley of Fire. So I think it was the Wednesday, decent temperature outside, about 70 degrees, kind of windy. But other than that, it was a sunny day, had my silver car, so we had the nicer rental car for the big road trip, loaded up, used the navigation in the Audi, and went on our way about an hour drive to the Valley of Fire. So it's in Overton, Nevada. Not really anything else there. There's like a gas station / casino on the expressway exit ramp leading up to that. And then it's like this cool 7-mile winding road that leads into the park. And it really is. Honestly, I like it better than Red Rock Canyon. It just amazing big red rock formations. And the coolest thing about it is when, you know, they have multiple spots where you can pull and park, you know, take pictures, but the rocks are manageable where you can actually get on these rocks, climb them. I'm certainly not a rock climber by any means. And, you know, it's just something that you can really soak in. Even the little landmarks that they have, you know, petroglyphs is something that they have at that park that we didn't experience and gives us a reason to want to go back. But there's something called Elephant Rock, Seven Sisters, White Domes. There's quite a few different areas. They give you a little map at check-in. It's only $10 to get into the park. And that's for, you know, the carload or whoever you go in with. And after that, there's a, you know, little visitor center with some information in there. And then you're kind of on your own. It's a, you know, like I said, probably 20 miles of just roads that go through this whole park of different red rock formations and multiple areas where you can pull off to the side and climb around on the rocks and play around. Seeing lizards out there. There's a tortoise on the side of the road in one spot. Supposedly, you can see even more wildlife out there, but that was the extent of what we've seen. But it really was a cool experience and a neat way to spend a day outside of the casino. I think that about wraps everything up. I do plan on posting a bunch of pictures and some articles on my website at compvegas.com. So keep an eye there. Should be some more information to follow, you know, my trips through the casinos. And then, like I said, I want to get some pictures up there of Valley of Fire because I really do think that's a worthwhile side trip for someone that's been to Vegas multiple times and looking for something a little different. That was really cool. You don't need to be a super in-shape hiker to enjoy it. I think anyone could enjoy it. Even just the drive through the park is worth it. So check it out there. You can follow me on Twitter at DTW2LAS. Unfortunately, looks like my next trip will have to be out of DTW since the direct flights out of Flint have dried up. I got to do a direct flight out of Detroit if I'm looking for direct to Vegas going forward. That's okay, though. Just signed up for another Southwest credit card. It's amazing, you know, if you haven't tried that before, sign up for a Southwest business card. You can actually put $0 in for the amount your business is making. You can make up a fake business like Comp Vegas, something that certainly doesn't generate any income. But wouldn't you know it, they approved me for the card and I'm getting another 50,000 miles and hopefully earning that companion pass for another year. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes. But those Southwest cards, in my opinion, are still the best advice out there for someone that wants to find a cheap way to fly, at least in the domestic U.S. So shoot for that companion pass and use the reward card bonuses for that. That being said, have a great day. Enjoy your week. Stay tuned. I don't know if I'll have a podcast in the coming week, at least in the next couple weeks here. But if you have any ideas on what you want to hear, what you want to talk about, please reach out to me on Twitter, reach out to me on my website. Again, thanks for listening.